Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the risen and glorified Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel for this Sunday, as Jesus tells us that he is the true vine and bids us to abide in him. Dear brothers and sisters, in seven parts of his gospel, John records Jesus making an I am declaration of himself. Along with the good shepherd and the gate, another is the true vine. And he tells us our relationship to him. He is the vine, his Father the vine dresser, and we are the branches. Paul goes a bit farther when we get into the book of Romans, because Paul lamented the fact that so many of his brother Hebrews had been broken off of the vine because they refused to believe, because they refused to listen to God, because they ignored the gospel. Some denied the resurrection itself, as had the Sadducees and most of the priestly party. Others thought it was through good works that they could evaluate, that they could quantify how much of this and how little of that made one a sanctified believer. Many others simply ignored it, just as people always have. But those who believed, both the children of Abraham according to the flesh and the children of Abraham according to the promise, that would be us Gentiles, are grafted into the true vine, and we gain our sustenance from him. And Jesus tells us then of that relationship. And tells us that if we really want to live, if we are going to be alive in Christ, alive in God, alive after the world ends, then we must abide in Jesus, and Jesus must abide in us. Abide, the word that gets tossed around a lot, sounds kind of old-timey. But yet, in redoing the hymns, they haven't found a better word to tuck in to abide, O dearest Jesus, or abide with me. His abiding is more than just visiting. It's more than just popping in and once in a while saying, hi God, I'm here in church, see you later. Abiding is being intimately acquainted, not as only a guest, but as one who should be in the home. As one who should be part of the life that is being lived. To abide is to put down roots. To abide is to act like you belong there. Because who wants Jesus just to pop in and say, hi, I forgive you all your sins. Now you're on your own. What a horrible life that would be. If God redeemed you, if God cleansed you of all your sins, if God said, okay, for this moment of your baptism, you're perfect. Now go out and earn your salvation. How quickly would we be lost? If Christ did not abide in us, and we in him, then we would never do any truly good works. Even if we thought we were helping, even if we actually did do some good for someone, God wouldn't count it a good work because it would not be done in faith. When we abide in Jesus and he in us, even the everyday tasks of our lives are fruitful and are blessed by God. Not just the spiritual tasks such as gathering at the table for family prayer, but the physical tasks, the getting up and going to work, the raising and nurturing of our children. And truly, when we look at the picture that Jesus gives us right here, it's a wonderful gospel to have on Mother's Day, because the intimate relation between mothers and children and the nurture and life that we receive by being branches that are connected to our Savior Jesus is so close. Without our mothers, none of us would have life. And, of if we lose our mothers, if we become alienated from them or they from us, that's not the best situation. And so, if we lose our Savior, or discard Him, or wander away from Him, or intentionally deny Him, we do not have life. Because our relationship here on earth is not like a child outside the womb that can walk around on its own. But it's more like the child that is not yet born. The one that the mother is still carrying. The one that she must do everything for. And that cord that connects the mother to the child, that lifeline, is a picture of what it's like to be engrafted into Jesus. Jesus doesn't take anything into himself that's toxic or poisonous that he will pass on to us. What we get from him is holy and pure. What we get from him is not only life itself, but as he says, abundant life. Full and fruitful life. What we gain from him is not only forgiveness of sins, but purpose. What purpose? To live as a Christian. To love one another. To do good to those who hate you. And you can only do those things as you abide in him and he in you. If you carry hatred in your heart, if you bear a grudge, then you are not of the light. You are not of Christ because you are not bearing the fruit of repentance. You are not acting as Christ would have you act. You are not taking the gift that he gives you and using it according to his blessing. On the other hand, when you have time, when you have the willingness, to love, to forgive, to be there for another person, then you are bearing the fruit that Christ has called you to do. Then you are receiving from your Father what's necessary through the Son. You bear it to the Father's glory, but you also bear it to the world's benefit. You are the ones who are out in this world bearing fruit that they might see, that they might live. By the way you act. By the way you treat one another. By the way you treat yourself even. And yet, when we're rooted into Christ, when we are secure branches, there are still, because we live in this sinful world, the Father has to come in once in a while and do a bit of pruning and snipping. He warns that anyone who does not bear fruit will be broken off and cast into the fire. But he also cautions us that because his Father is the vine dresser, he's looking for little bits of us branches that aren't bearing fruit. A grumble here, a grudge there, a harsh word. And he works to snip that off. And because we are flesh and blood and have hearts and minds and consciences, that snipping hurts us more than it probably hurts a grapevine. But it's as necessary for our further development as it is for a vine or a tree branch's right development. So that we don't grow twisted. So that we don't end up bearing fruit that is no good. And that still only happens as we abide. As we live in Christ. As we take up residence in Christ. As he is the most important, the only important person in our lives, then he gives us back all of the other things that are important while we have life here on earth. If we don't abide in Christ and he in us, then it doesn't matter how we treat our mothers or our children. It doesn't matter how much integrity we show in our public dealings. It doesn't matter how well we speak, how attentively we listen. It doesn't matter if the world respects us or if the world rejects us. If we are not abiding in him, we will be broken off. We will be gathered up and we will be burned. Jesus doesn't go into the same details here as he does elsewhere, but he says this is life and death. Because the only burning that Scripture really focuses us on is the eternal burning of hell. And that's the consequence for drying up, for refusing to bear the fruits that Christ would have you bear, for trying to root yourself in the things of this world while also being rooted in Christ. He says it's one or the other. You can only get good stuff from Jesus or bad stuff from the world. The things of the world are not yours to keep and to hold on to, but rather yours to use, to have stewardship over, to take care of, as long as you live in Christ. If you claim ownership of things on this earth, then you're denying the ownership that God has on you. If you sink your roots down only into the things that you could touch and feel and see, and neglect the one who came down to earth to suffer and die for you, then you're rooted in this earth. You're abiding here. And this place is not a permanent dwelling place. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. As he told Peter, when Peter would have Jesus wash him all over, Jesus says, already you're clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And you are clean also because of the word Christ has spoken to you in your baptism and then ongoing up to this day when you heard, I forgive you all your sins. Christ has told you that you are clean. And you can retain that cleanliness by abiding in Christ, or you can deny it by abiding in something, anything, anyone else. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus defines us, we don't define him. Jesus says what we are, we don't say what Jesus is or who we are. We live according to him. We don't call the tune for him to dance, but rather he gives us the tune, the heavenly tune, that lifts our hearts in joy. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. We've seen some of that, haven't we? With the strong winds that have come through and knocked them out of our trees. Those of us who have gum trees or elms or oaks, almost any of them for one reason or another will drop a twig. Stem, a branch. We either cut them up for firewood or we just throw them on the burn pile or we just let them sit and rot, but they're of no use to us now. And if we don't abide in Jesus and he in us, then we're of no use to him. Because we're not carrying his gospel into the world. We're not blessing and benefiting the world by our presence, by our confession, by the life that we live, and by the name that we confess, and so we wither and dry. But thanks be to God that even we who seem to be completely dried up, even we who feel so far away from him that there's no connection that we can sense at all, God doesn't give up on us. God works to bring us back more fully and completely into his Son. Even if we're drooping and sagging and almost a fall off, he tries as hard as he can. As Jesus spoke in the parable of the tree that would not bear fruit, come on, Father, let me have one more year of digging around it and fertilizing it and trying to get something out of it. We are strengthened by the same blood that he shed on the cross. The same life that he gave up for us, we now possess because he has taken it back up for himself. And so, if you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This isn't to say, go pick up your biggest fantasy and lay it out in front of Jesus and it's going to happen. But rather, as you pray in faith, you cannot pray for things that God does not want you to have. You cannot ask God for things that are useless, that are frivolous. But the things that are truly necessary, new life in Jesus, forgiveness of sins, the boldness to confess it before man, and the courage to live as a Christian, no matter what the circumstances are around you, you will receive. You may receive more. You may be blessed with earthly wealth, or you may receive less, and you may be even on the fringe of poverty. But what you need is what you wish when you abide in Jesus. And faster that you realize that you're empty, he has filled you up. By this, he says, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We don't glorify God by saying God is great. We glorify God by living and forgiving as Christians. We don't glorify God by how much we put into the offering plate, but by how much we appreciate the offering that Jesus gave for us. We don't glorify God by saying God is great, and now I am too. But rather we glorify God by realizing that our Savior was also our servant, and we in turn serve him by serving one another. God is glorified not when we stand up on a table and say, hooray for me, but rather when we bend down beside that table and wash the next round of stinky feet that are there in front of us. When we change that next diaper for the one who needs it, not grumbling and complaining, but thanking God for the gift of that child. When we gladly go about the tasks of every day, knowing that the things God has laid out before us are good and are good for us. So God asks you through his Son, by the power of the Spirit, with the strength of the gospel and the sacraments, to glorify him by bearing fruit. By bearing the fruit of repentance, of true faith, of love for one another, of respect and care for the creation around you, of looking out for the widows and orphans and others in need, of finding ways to turn the treasures that God allows you to touch and to handle, but not to keep, so that they will be as of much benefit to others as possible. Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us, nor we to sin give place. There's so many ways that that can happen, but when our Savior is with us, we know that we will continue also to abide in him. This hymn that's usually sung at the close of service, sometimes even at funerals, is one to keep with us every day. It's not the last minute check off, okay, Jesus, be with me because I'm going out, but it's also the first thing when we get up, as Luther gave us in our morning prayer, asking us to put on Christ intentionally and purposefully as we go out into the world, and to wear him with pride as we go out among those who would despise and reject and neglect him, and so perhaps despise and reject and neglect us. All the way from beginning to end, every good thing that we have comes from him, and so the hymn concludes, abide, O faithful Savior, among us with your love. Grant steadfastness and help us to reach our home above. God grant that you abide in Christ and he in you, that you might reach the home above, and that you might do so knowing that you have borne fruit in keeping with the person, with the branch that God has made you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.